everybody. Welcome to the Nerds... three Angry Nerds podcast. Because we just recorded a Nerds in Love episode. So, there's that.
Yeah, you have that to look forward to.
Woo! If you are...
A little bonus to fans.
Yeah, if you're in, like, the... Well, let's be honest. Large percentage of people that listen to the Three Angry Nerds podcast and don't listen to Nerds in Love, which... That podcast only has like around a few thousand listeners, and this has like 10,000. Then, yeah, go check it out, please, because it's basically more of this, except we talk about blind fat chicks and other things too. I swear, it's not 30 minutes of us talking about blind fat chicks.
Just like 3 minutes.
Yeah, just 3 minutes. Yeah, so we're going to talk about now nerd stuff that happened this week. Let's talk about Kevin Feige. Kev.
Mm.
It's
been a big week for him.
Yeah, no, he's been kind of getting around, if you know what I'm saying. I feel like I might have missed some of the things he said, so if you guys figure out missing anything, feel free to chime in, but... I guess the big thing is that he said, yeah, Captain Marvel casting not coming until probably next year. He didn't say explicitly next year, but yeah, he said it's not coming this year. So I imagine we'll find out next year, probably at the very latest by Comic-Con, I guess. So
yeah.
And he also said something interesting too, where he's like, when we cast, we get the casting director's list of people, and then we compare it to the fans, list of people. We try to see if we can find like a common ground. So I don't know. That was kind of like a little interesting little tidbit where it was basically like,
A lot of the times fans nominate really stupid ideas and not just for like
Ronda Rousey
casting in general. So
I get that. Right. Yeah. Cause like, that's the thing, right? Like if they're like, hey, Emily Blunt, oh, look, Emily Blunt's something the fans like, too. Then they're probably just going to go with Emily Blunt, you know? Makes sense, right?
Yeah. People are all like, Ronda Rousey. And I'm like, shut up.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Ronda Rousey is not an actress. She's basically a punching bag with boobs.
Yep. That's a punching bag.
Okay, she's a punching bag with boobs and fisticuffs. No, just kidding. She's actually a really good fighter. I'm not a huge, like, MMA guy, but I have seen her fight a few times. But, yeah, she's not an actress. She's just, no. Let's see. The other thing, too, Kev mentioned that there's no plans for a Spider-Man spinoff yet. And I'm like, duh, why would there be? But yeah. I don't know why people think there's going to be all these spinoffs for Spider-Man. And it's like, they literally just
the spin-offs got the rights back. Spinoffs were canceled when the TASM universe was canceled, so... Shut up.
Well, I'm sure we can down the line, but we gotta wait till Spider-Man's settled in the MCU first, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were asking about the dumbest things, though. They're, saying, is Sinister Six gonna happen? Can we get a Spider-Gwen movie, even though she's only existed for, 6 months? It's shut up.
I mean, she's awesome, but come on.
What was funny, too, is in the interview, Kevin Feige, when they asked him about what his thoughts were on Spider-Gwen, apparently he just didn't say anything, which is kind of funny, That's telling. He's just you can tell he's probably got this wait and see, we'll see.
Like, you're starting off with Spider-Man. Again, you're not doing the origin, but, you're starting off his career. You don't just break out into spin-offs right now. Jesus Christ, at least get a couple Spider-Man movies out before you even consider doing anything else major, with that series that doesn't involve him. Again, I'm talking about, spin-off level. Yeah. Hell, I don't even know what the hell they want those spin-offs for. I can't... Again, Sinister Six, fuck off. Spider-Gwen, fuck off. I don't want spin-offs. Just focus on making good Spider-Man movies, you know? That was Sony's problem, was that they were thinking too much about the spin-offs and not about just making a good Spider-Man movie as a base, as a foundation.
You know, Agent Venom's gonna happen. We're getting Agent Venom, I'm pretty sure.
No... Fuck off.
Come on, Carlos. Agent Venom's the coolest character. He's like a...
No!
He's like a SWAT agent, but he's got the symbiote.
No!
I know how much Carlos hates Agent Venom. No.
It's funny because Hulk out? a regular Venom spinoff is probably the only spinoff I'd actually be interested in seeing in terms of Spider-Man, but an Agent Venom spinoff would make me, I don't know, like Darth Vader know. No?
See, here's the thing, Carlos. We've established what? That Marvel likes to do things that you hate, but they do it in ways that you'll like it. So, they're going to do Agent Venom, but then they're going to find a way to make you like it, especially.
No.
Could happen, man.
Okay, wait. What have they done that I... Because I know we said that with Civil War, but like you're saying that like it's a big trend. Like, what else did they do? Or that they're going to do? Yeah, we said Civil War. I'm like, okay, yeah, so...
I was going to say Old Man Logan, but something tells me that's doesn't qualify.
That doesn't qualify because it's Fox. And I'm not going to like it in the second place. So
Infinity War. Yeah. Infinity War.
I never had a problem with Infinity War, though.
Well, Carlos, then you just busted my theory wide open.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a theory because you also were like, they're going to do Planet Hulk. And I'm like, well, they're not. And so they have never announced anything even remotely close to Planet Hulk. And even if they did, there's no guarantee that I would end up liking it in the first place.
We know that the reason Marvel's not saying where Hulk is because he's on Planet Hulk. Duh.
Really don't know what to do with him yet.
Like, I think I joked a couple of podcasts ago where it's like, they're just going to have him come back from Planet Hulk and they'll just be like, yo, Hulk, why do you have that armor? He's like, yo, I was just fighting on some planet. They won't even show it, like...
just completely off screen.
Yeah. He's got like some alien's head in his hand or something.
Maybe that's how they would make me like it, because I'd be like, oh, great, I didn't have to see it.
Yeah. I didn't put this in the notes, but I just remembered it. Kevin Feige mentioned that at the end of Phase 3, there's going to be a whole new roster of Avengers, so it's kind of exciting.
That was a given.
Well, see, they're introducing new characters in Phase 3 in solo movies, and you know there's going to be more introduced after the fact, so that's not exactly nutty to hear.
No.
I mean, think how many characters that were in sort of, like, newer Avengers rosters, like, I'm talking, like, 90s and to now. Like, how many of those characters that they're introducing into the universe? Yeah. Right? Like, even in a lot of, like, the, what is it, the characters that are showing up in the Netflix shows, like, they ended up becoming Avengers only more recently, right? Or you've got people like Quake on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And of course they're bringing in, you know, like Black Panther, Ant-Man, and their version of Ant-Man and Wasp, and they're probably going to announce even further solos later, so I'm like, this is just sort of expected.
Like, I think the only reason I'm really excited about that is, like, some characters, like Thor and Iron Man, I'm kind of glad that they're going to get sidelined for a bit, because as great as they are, I think it'd be good to focus on other characters and give them the spotlight. So, I mean,
I'm good with other characters getting the spotlight, but I don't want them to just sort of like phase out those previous characters completely. Like, you know what I mean? No. Like, don't murder them all, or just be like, they just don't exist anymore, right? Just don't replace them. Like, they can still exist, but you can have like the main focus be on a newer generation of characters. Have it be sort of they do it in the comics or something.
Yeah. I think too, what they'll do is, you know, they'll sideline these characters, especially the ones where the actors are sort of done with their contracts. They'll wait a few years, recast, and then I'm hoping what they do is they bring in the actors as that character and sort of just carry on the character. Like, you know, address that the things that happened before still happen, but kind of just keep on going.
Like, I think that's a good way to do it, too, is that that's how you could basically extend the lifespan of it for a long time. Like, what you could do is, again, like, you can phase out an actor, and then the character sort of goes into the shadows for a few years, and then they come back with a new actor, and they're like, "All right, the story just keeps on trucking."
Yeah, like
didn't Kevin Feige also
compare
Iron Man to Bond?
Yeah, he did, and that was the thing, is that this was before even Avengers came out, and because people were already asking them, like, around the time Avengers was coming out, they're saying like, someday these people won't be able to play these characters anymore, and he's always said, his answer's always been the same. He says, "We will not, we will recast them." He's like, that's what our plan has always been from day one, is that eventually when the actors can't do it anymore, we will recast them and we will keep the story going. Like, they want this to go on as long as possible. I remember one time Kevin made a joke about Phase 27, and I was like, one day. One day.
That shot's so tiring.
With the benchmark or hallmark film being Runaways or something weird like that.
I would love that.
I would actually really like to see Runaways, especially because I know that they had it scripted a long time ago. Because, what is it, Runaways was supposed to come out in the same year Avengers did, but it got canceled. And I'm like...
I think they were juggling between Runaways and Guardians, and they ended up going with Guardians.
Well, that makes sense, because Guardians has more to do with, like, the cosmic stuff that they're going for, right?
Right. Yeah. You're able to expand the universe.
Yeah, because, like...
But I'm like, Runaways would be a great thing to bring in, like, because, again, like, because we already have Guardians, which are sort of, like... Again, they're tied into the universe, but they're not part of the Avengers. So, like, they're already another aspect. And, like, Runaways would be a great thing to do in, like, Phase 4 or 5, to just have sort of, like, another series that doesn't have much to do with Avengers.
So, Kevin Feige was talking to a lot of people this week. Do you know who he wasn't talking to this week? Mads Mikkelsen. Best segue ever.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Oh, come on, Carlos. Six out of 10. You know that's, by my standard, that's like...
By your standards, that's like 11 out of 10. But that's like the by regular
Noel
standards, that's
Peace Prize of those segues. Mads Mikkelsen, he said he's still waiting on Marvel's call, but he's definitely excited. And you know what that says to me? It says he's already been cast and he's just trying to keep it a secret.
That's what a lot of people have said. They're like, if he acknowledged the rumor and is like, I'm waiting for them to call me back, I'm like, if he actually wasn't cast, I imagine he'd probably be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
But he's just like, no, I'm waiting for them to call me back. And I'm like, a lot of people were already saying, like, Mads, we know you've already signed a dotted line, and you're just waiting for whenever they told you when they're going to officially announce it. So
yeah, he's pulling a Paul Rudd in Ant-Man. You know, Paul
he
Rudd's
is
like,
pulling a Paul Rudd right now.
Yeah. I still think
or
he's
Benedict,
playing...
He didn't acknowledge either.
I still think he's playing Mephisto. That's still my guess. My running theory.
That was my thing, too, so I'm like, yeah.
We'll see.
Matt's going to be like, yeah, I've been hired to play Mephisto. I'm going to be showing up in Doctor Strange, Thor Ragnarok, and both parts of Infinity War. He's like, wait, I wasn't supposed to say that, was it?
That would be amazing. I would be
that
like,
would be amazing. Holy shit.
I'm really sad that Hannibal's gone, but all right, you're back.
He's like, I can accept this. He's like, yeah, I signed a 6-film deal to play Mephisto. I'm also going to show up as the main villain in the Phase 4 Ghost Rider reboot. I wasn't supposed to say that, was I?
Oh, God. If they do Ghost Rider, it'll be a Netflix show. That's my guess.
It'd be a bit expensive to do. Maybe they kept like the transformations sparingly.
It would be fairly expensive. I'd want them to make it expensive, and I think they could do it. I think it would be understood that it wouldn't be a continuation of the Nicolas Cage series. Everyone would be like, okay, this is a Ghost Rider.
The reason I say Netflix is like, I just don't know if that character would carry over to film as well. Like, the thing with Daredevil is they could have done a Daredevil film. Actually, there was news this week that Daredevil almost was a film, but they put it on the Netflix show, and arguably, I mean, the story kind of benefited from the Netflix format, so I kind of feel like Ghost Rider, even though, it would be a huge thing for them budget-wise, I think for the story to tell and all that, it would actually probably be more beneficial for that character. I mean, for a character like Iron Man, you could not throw Iron Man into a Netflix show, because I just think, like, it just wouldn't suit the character. But
are you sure? I think Iron Man could actually work really well as a show if budget wasn't a concern. Like, if you could literally get movie-quality visuals on a television budget, I actually think that Iron Man could work well as a serialized show. But again, like, you'd have to have sort of, like, a villain that would overarch over 13 episodes. Because one of the things that Iron Man comics did really well is whenever they have a villain who would create other villains, right? Like, again, like, you have some sort of big business villain who would creating several other supervillains that they would fight, that Iron Man would fight week to week. And I'm like, well, I guess it wouldn't be week to week because it's Netflix, right? They'd be released on the same day. But you get the idea of, like, episode to episode, and you reveal that, oh my god, it was really Lex Luthor the whole time! I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean. Like, you get the idea. Like, that could work, but I get why they need to do Iron Man as a movie, because the budget for that character is just too big.
Like, I saw someone a couple months ago, they were like, well, this is when Fantastic Four bombed. They were like, oh, Fantastic Four should be a Netflix series. I'm like, no.
No.
No. Like, this is where I'm like, no. Like, Fantastic Four, if Marvel ever did get the rights back, should just be a full-blown movie. Like, full-blown CG movie. You tell one story over a 2.5, you know, hour period, and, you know, that's it, right? Like, I feel like certain characters and franchises sort of benefit from a certain model, and I think some people just don't get that.
Like, yeah, but I think it would be very cool to see a Fantastic Four show, because they're all about the science, they're all about exploration. I'd be like, Star Trek meets superheroes, and I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, I think, like, X-Men definitely could be either or. And that's kind of why, like, I think the TV show that they've been floating around, like, the last year or so, like, that's kind of exciting for me, because it's like, we've just been getting X-Men movies. I would love to see what they do with X-Men in a TV format. So,
probably be a prequel X-Men to X-Men.
X-Men could definitely work serialized.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to have more time. Because obviously, like, X-Men, a big part of X-Men is the fact that there's so many characters, right? And you could do characters justice across a serialized format. But with Fantastic Four, because the focus is on a small group of characters, and they have a particular dynamic, and they have a heavy focus on spectacle in Fantastic Four comics, right? And I can't help but feel that wouldn't be as done well on a show.
No.
Right? The idea of them going on multi-episode adventures seems like it would work, maybe, but I can't help but feel that, again, like, movie adventures would work better for their particular breed of storytelling. Just
unless you did something like where the TV show builds up to something in a movie, right? Where it's like, they all, like, they could be separate from each other, but you would also get, like, something in the movie that would tie into the show. Like, you think about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, even though it's not as probably well developed as it could be, the general idea is there that, like, the films influence the show, and vice versa, I guess, in a lesser.
And wasn't there also another bit of this Kev news where he was talking about how, again, like, the television's interconnectedness with the movies was inevitably going to become more pronounced?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did say that.
I didn't put that in the notes because it was kind of like a no-brainer, but yeah, that was...
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone is sort of figuring out, they're like, okay, I mean, like, obviously we're going to talk about the season 3 premiere later on, right? I know that was in the notes, but, I mean, you just saw, if you saw the episode, you know that William Sadler, who played the president in Iron Man 3, showed up in that episode.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, as more and more characters start to cross-pollinate, it's going to become inescapable that they're going to have to, again, carry more influence on each other. So, you know, like I said, like, I am thinking that, I mean, like, the way that they're building up Quake, the way they're building up Inhumans, I'm like, I would not be surprised if Quake was a member of, like, the Avengers forecast. I'm like, it's almost a no-brainer at this point.
Yeah.
So,
I can see. Yeah, people would shove about them not interconnecting enough, because... It would kind of bug me how people gave him so much shit for that, but I mean, this is a new thing Marvel was doing with the television movies interconnecting. Some of this was going to take time, and obviously we're complicated with the actors' contracts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So at least be a natural build-up is makes sense.
Yeah.
As opposed to going all at once.
Yeah. Actually get back on track. Anyways, Mads Mikkelsen, he might be getting the call from Marvel. Ryan Reynolds, future Deadpool, the current Deadpool, however you want to say it. Apparently, he stole the Deadpool outfit offset. And he
were we just talking about this? How we were just talking about this in the last episode or something? Like how people steal props. I told you.
Yep.
Yeah. But he says,
that's
you know,
like I told you, Andrew Garfield stole a Spider-Man suit. I'm like, Ryan Reynolds stole a Deadpool suit. I'm like, I am not surprised in the slightest.
But he says, you know, he's been waiting 10 years for Deadpool, so he justifies that as like, you know, that's why I'm going to take the suit. And you know what? I'm going to say,
hey, good for him.
Let him keep the suit, you know? Honestly, you know, it's more of like an investment. They're like, well, I guess we'll have to have you back for the sequel because we need that suit back. Can't recast now because then we lose the suit too.
Exactly, we can't recast and we put too much money into this one version of the costume, so we can't build another one. So
yeah. Speaking of things that film in Vancouver, lols. Vanessa Williams, who as Comic Book Movie points out, is not the woman from Ugly Betty, but rather from Candyman, has joined The Flash Season 2 as Iris's mom slash Joe's wife. Now, if you watch the show, you know in Season 1, there was no mom slash wife, so this is kind of an interesting development. Probably an Earth 2 situation, I'm guessing, because, yeah, it would just be kind of weird if she just showed up. She's like, yeah, I've been gone all these years. Like, Earth 2, I feel, kind of makes more sense, especially because Wally's getting introduced this season, so part of me kind of wonders if, like, they'll introduce her and Wally as, like, the Earth 2 family of the West. I don't know. What do you think, Corey?
I don't know what to say about this. I mean, sure. I mean, that sounds like a viable theory. What? I mean, was Iris's mom, like, dead in the first season? I don't recall.
I think so. Like,
okay, I don't know if she was killed or if she just left Joe and Iris or what.
See, that's the thing. I can't remember, like, exactly. But I do remember there basically being something about, like, her not being around anymore. But I forget the exact reason why. But, yeah. Anyways. For those who like The Flash, on the DC news front, still, George Miller, there's been talking of him doing Man of Steel 2, and this week he kind of denied it. I don't know did you guys watch that interview by any chance?
No.
No, I just saw the article, but the article was so clickbaity that I refused to click on it.
The video itself was kind of funny because it was, like, kind of dodgy on his part, but at the same time, too, it was, like, this was kind of a weird interview. Like, I could kind of see him, like, just being dodgy, but at the same time, too, like, in a transcript, definitely would have sounded like he denied it, but I think if you watch the full interview, it comes off more of him being a little, like, uneasy answering it, so that's why I say kind of denies it, because part of me thinks he's still in it.
Maybe like, he'll do one DCEU movie, I think. Maybe that's necessarily Man of Steel, too.
I mean, let's be honest, too, right? Like, because he had that Justice League movie that got canned, right? Like, I feel like if I were him, like, I'd feel kind of jilted. Like, I'd want to at least do something in that universe, right? In that mythology. He even touches on that in the interview. He's like, I love the mythology of superheroes. And it's like, well, if you do, then why are you denying that you might not do the movie? Crazy old man. You know. Now, this following news is probably the most interesting news of the week. And probably almost the most, like, on the bullshit radar. This beeps highly for me. But Collider is reporting that we may get a Watchmen TV show on HBO. And that the plan is to And I guess the plan is eventually to have it succeed Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones goes off the air, or they put in Watchmen.
Now I have a question about this.
Yeah.
Is this another adaptation of Watchmen, or is this going to have continuity with the movie?
I feel like it would be continuity. I don't think they would do the movie again, because that would just be kind of weird.
I don't recall. What did you guys think of Watchmen? I don't recall.
The movie?
Yeah.
I thought it was good. My main issue is with the ending, but that's, yeah.
Well, actually, I thought the theatrical run was okay. I mean, the pacing was a bit rushed. And it was like just such a big story contained into that time frame. But I think the director's cut is actually a better paced and overall better film, even if it's long.
Yeah.
But I did like the distinctive style of it. I think that's what Snyder's been good at, what he helped capture. And I actually didn't have a problem with the ending. I thought it made more sense in context of the movie. I mean, there's just still so much from the book they couldn't put into the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of
As someone who loved the book long before the movie came out, I was stunned at how much I really liked the movie when it first came out. And of course, I thought the director's cut was also better. So I'm like one of those people who gets like defensive about it, because I'm like, I don't want them to make another one. I really like the Watchmen movie we got. So I was like, if they're going to make a show, I'm just sort of like, even if it's even if it is in continuity, I'm still wondering. I'm like, what's the point? Hmm. So,
like,
I don't know.
My one like theory on what they would do with this is it would be like an anthology show that focuses on like a character each season, but even that, like,
oh,
I'm like, I don't know,
like the comedian or Rorschach or Night Owl.
Yeah, like you do like a season, and like you could probably have like Night Owl appear in like Rorschach's season and whatever else, but like generally speaking, I'm guessing, like, my theory on this is that, yeah, like each season would focus on like a certain character, and yeah, like maybe focus a bit on their past and a bit on their, you know, future in, you know, some cases, right? And yeah, that's my
guess. I still don't know if that would, like,
cool. I mean,
personally,
like, like, what about the first
for,
oh, sorry, they're like two people talking. Corey,
sorry, go ahead, Carlos.
Oh yeah, Carlos.
Okay, but I was just gonna say, because even if it was gonna be like one of those things where it's like each season was sort of like a character study, I still don't know, because I don't know, maybe this is just me, but like I feel like the reason why Watchmen worked, like, it's not that the characters weren't interesting, they were incredibly interesting, but they worked because they were telling a specific story where all these characters were sort of past their prime, right? And yeah. I can't help but feel like there's been a couple attempts to, you know, make Watchmen universe content that was sort of like focusing like on their real superhero careers. And it's always fallen flat for me, because I'm like, that's not the that's not the interesting part of this universe. The interesting part is this specific story of after the fact.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, just for me, like, I can't help but feel that, like, again, it just comes across like, you know, I think there might be money in this Watchmen license. Now, obviously, everything is to make money, I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you can, like, on a storytelling level, it seems a little bit flimsy to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is also why this flags my bullshit radar, just because, I mean, just thinking about how they would pull this off, like, I can't see any network or studio like hearing this and being like, that sounds like a great idea, but then I'm like, either it's like an amazing idea or somebody was feeling stupid that day and they're like, just
they're okay, like, we need a superhero show.
I can see this working though. I mean, like, what if they took the mythology of the comics and expanded upon it? Like,
yeah,
the first season focuses on the former Watchmen, the first superheroes, and watching how it impacts history from their rise to their fall,
yeah,
like JFK's assassination, and then the arrival of Dr. Manhattan and the Vietnam War. And I think that'd be some great television right there, spread out between the seasons, that eventually goes to the story being told in the Watchmen movie.
Yeah. I think the big thing would be that they would have to respect the movie on subsequently the comic as what it is, and basically do what they want to do around that. Like, I get what Carlos is saying too. Like, I would actually hate it if, like, this movie was basically like Watchmen the comic, now adapted for, you know, TV, right? Like, we already got the movie, and I felt like the movie, it was very fetish, bleh. It was very close.
What?
I can't speak
no.
right now. I'm not even drinking. That's the worst part. it was very close to the material. Almost slavishly. That's the word I was looking for. But the thing is, like, ultimately, I think, you know, having it be slavishly like the comic was actually, in a lot of ways, better than them trying to betray the idea of it, right? So, but,
oh, some parts I didn't like, though. I didn't like how super-powered the heroes themselves felt, like, watching, what's his name, Ozymandias punch through concrete like it was nothing. I mean, come on. That was a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, for the sake of looking cool.
Also, too, I think if you're HBO right now, HBO has no superhero comic book content right now, at least that I can think of. Somebody might prove me wrong, but
yeah, I think that's why Watchmen would be a prime example for digging into for stories. They can drag it out for seasons too, like Game of Thrones. I think it could work. I could totally see if they've done well.
Like, they're looking right now at like shows like The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're like, well, we could do a gritty thing about Watchmen, and it's like, Speaking of Game of Thrones, that show may get a movie prequel.
No.
And yeah. It was reported.
Wait, what?
And I think George R.R. Martin said it wasn't happening or something like that, but it's kind of weird because it's like, Some people are saying he said that it would happen, and now some people are saying that he said it won't happen. It's just like, I'm confused. Just tell me if this movie's happening or not. Like, honestly, I think it makes sense. Sorry?
Now when you say prequel, do you mean like, would it be set like during the war between the Baratheons and the Targaryens?
Yeah, I guess that was the rumor, was that, yeah, it would be sort of set during Robert's Rebellion. That's the popular theory. I mean, thinking on it, it makes sense to do a Game of Thrones movie, because that name brand does do really well, and there have been those, you know, little episodes or two or whatever that they bundle together and put in IMAX theaters. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that or anything. No.
What, movies in IMAX?
No, like when they do like the Game of Thrones episodes, just bundle some of them together and like put them on IMAX.
Oh.
They do two or three episodes.
I haven't seen
it. I don't live anywhere in IMAX, no. So.
No. I've seen it once. I did the one where they did like the Attack on the Wall. I saw that in IMAX. And I mean, I thought it was cool. I mean, I think they've been playing with the idea of putting Game of Thrones in a movie theater. You know, even if it is just bundling together some of the episodes of the TV series. So, yeah, I mean, makes sense to me at least that they would do this. But
would it be the theatrical or would it be like just an HBO special?
I imagine it would be theatrical. I mean, they'd be shooting themselves in the foot if they didn't put it out that way, because that'd be a bunch of income for them. But I would imagine after it's in theaters, yeah, like, it would probably be almost sort of HBO exclusive. That'd be my guess. Carlos, would you see a Game of Thrones movie prequel?
I guess I would see it, but I'm not sure why they would... I mean, I guess I know why they would make it, but I'm just sort of like, again, I'm just sort of cautious, you know, because yeah. Like whenever they're like, all right, we're going to change our sort of like how we're doing an adaptation, seemingly just for the case of, you know, just doing it. I'm obviously mm-hmm. cautious. That's yeah. all.
Makes sense.
I'm not saying it can't work. It could work. Then maybe they could do something really cool with it, but I'm just sort of cautious at this moment until they give more information about it. I'm cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Railroad Martin basically said in the interview, he goes, oh, it would be a great way to bring back dead characters, you know, and if they did a prequel, basically it's like, oh, hey, that person who you thought was dead, we found a way to basically bring them back. I mean, I'm not completely
sold on it. Like, is that just it, that they want to cash in on some of the dead popular characters? Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure that's not their whole reason for doing it, but it would be, I guess, the way that Railroad mentioned it. It was like, yeah, it would be a good way to basically bring these characters back in a way that makes sense. Anyways, on more Game of Thrones news, a set video leaked this week that set up the Tower of Joy in a flashback. So do you guys know what the Tower of Joy is in context of Game of Thrones?
Tower of Joy. Is that where, what's her name? Crap.
He's close, I can tell.
I am close, don't tip my tongue, I can't remember her name. Dang it. Sean Bean's character's sister, is that where she was held?
Yes. Leanna Stark.
Okay.
Yes.
Alright.
So.
There's two names.
Big thing behind this is basically they're trying to figure out who Jon Snow's parents are, real parents, I guess. And the Tower of Joy has always been sort of like that question mark in terms of who Jon Snow's parents really are. So that could basically be us finally getting that answer. So that'd be interesting. Because I know mm-hmm. a lot of people have basically said, yeah, Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar Targaryen, that's been like literally the running theory for like years now. So, and if those people were wrong, it'd be also amazing. So they've had this theory for years, and it's like, no, it's like Ned Stark and Lyanna Stark, and they're like, no. It'd be funny. And Carlos, you're like, I don't care, let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Carlos wants to talk about Lash. I know.
Just a or just to say, I haven't seen it yet, so just try to keep spoilers to a minimum.
Okay. We will keep the spoilers. We're not there yet. Got a couple more things.
Okay, hey, what did you think of that Iron Man cameo?
I know, right? When he zoomed by and he was like, good job, Quake, I was really just like hyped. Level max.
And then also when fucking Simmons picked up Thor's hammer, I was like, shit!
What are you talking about? I thought Simmons came back as Venom.
Well, she did that too.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
And she was being chased by one of the Accuser who is alive again.
It's deflecting everything right now because he's just sad about the fact that it was confirmed this week that Pacific Rim 2 has been indefinitely delayed, and I put in brackets for reals this time.
I mean, they said it wasn't going to be the death of the franchise. It's just off Universal's calendar. Does that mean it's not going to be there ever?
The thing is that Universal already released a statement saying that they're like, this is not a cancellation, right? Now, obviously, it's possible that that could mean nothing, but they're just saying, like, we just want to make sure that they have the time and so that we don't have a release date right now. So, yeah. I mean, like, because they knew that when they took it off that people were going to be like, hey! So they, like, again, they released a statement with it saying it's like, this movie is not canceled. Yeah. But the thing with Del Toro projects is that, like, because he has a reputation for being that guy who just delays his projects forever until they might as well be canceled, this is, of course, frustrating for people who were excited for this movie.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean,
of course.
You know, if we're going off of their semantics, then Hellboy 3 has been indefinitely delayed for years now, right? Like,
yeah, right? Like, although, to be fair, I don't think that Hellboy 3 was ever technically confirmed, right? And Universal never came out with statements saying that it was still happening. More like Ron Coleman every once in a while would say, I want to make it, but it never was actually on the table. Whereas here, it's not even Del Toro coming with, it's Universal coming out with a statement saying, we're still making this movie, we just don't have a release date right now. So I think a lot of it was
Del Toro also saying, like, he was trying to find a way to schedule it in and all this, and it just never happened. So, at least with Hellboy
3. Yeah, it managed to, that makes it clear up his calendar or some shit.
Like, it's gotta eat if less any food. Other director was in head of this, I would just take the Universal statement at face value and say, all right, it's still coming. But because it's Del Toro, there's just, like, this part of me that's just like, god damn it, god damn it, god damn it.
Yeah. Part of it feels too, like, you know? If it does come out, it's going to be so different than what it originally was going to be. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, if it's on indefinite delay or whatever, I mean, like, what do they need to change about this that's causing this delay? Because film sounded like it was on track. I mean, it had, like, a 2017 release, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, the movie sounded like it was on track, so I'm, like, kind of wondering, like, what are these drastic changes that basically caused them to indefinitely delay this film, right? Like, it must have been something major because I can't see any reason why you would take a movie with a 2017 release and just be like, we don't know when it's coming out. I mean, I know lately on the podcast I've joked about, you know, the film Pacific Rim, but I did enjoy the first one. Not as much as, like, Carlos and a bunch of other people, but I did enjoy it. Speaking about giant mysteries that, I don't know where I was going with that segue. We got a new X-Files trailer.
Mediocre.
Yeah. I started strong, ended bad. Yeah, there's some new X-Files trailer for the miniseries that's coming out in 2016. And, I don't know. I mean, it looks okay. I'm going to say, are you guys
like X-Files?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty fucking stoked. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I think, you know, like, I like the idea of Mulder. You know, he's still his normal kind of kooky, sort of suspicious self, and, you know, yeah, I'm digging it. You know, I'm definitely gonna watch it at this point. But
I'm also really, I'm really liking the fact that they seem to be making, again, like, the big time gap a very important part of the plot. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, as if, like, again, like, they had sort of drifted apart, but now, like, something is going to happen that's going to actually bring them together, but it's been a long time, and they're going to address that fact.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, I think that that's obviously, like, a really smart, very frugal design choice, and I can't wait to see what they do with it. I mean, like, most people never would have thought they would get a season 10 of X-Files, and now that it's coming, I'm like, holy shit.
It's happening. Right.
It's happening!
Alright, let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 premiere.
Woo!
And we're going to be careful of spoilers because Corey has not seen it yet.
Yeah.
Probably
Thank you.
Other
Obviously, if you couldn't figure out that all the stuff we just spoiled didn't actually happen, well, I've got some prime real estate I'd like to sell you.
Let's be honest. If you believe me when I said that Venom showed up in the show, then you fucking deserve to go to...
Stop listening to this podcast right now.
Just
you're
no,
not allowed.
Like, just give up on life because you're that dumb. I'm sorry. Wait, is there actually Venom? Oh shit.
Yeah, someone sends us an email saying, "What do you mean, Venom?
Why
you
Venom
mean that
not
Venom
in...
symbiote is gonna be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. instead of Guardians of the Galaxy 2? James Gunn, suck."
Carlos, you do actually a very good Hamid impersonation. I mean, it's not hard to do. You just have to, you know, have broken English and basically make little sense of whatsoever. I love how Hamid didn't email us this week, and we still just rip into him.
Yep. We can't not have a little bit of Hamid. Just a bit of Hamid.
Just a bit.
A bit of Hamid is what I need.
I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Megan.
Hey, Curtis. What? Did you, oh my gosh, well, I guess no one laughed at that, so I was like, oh, I'm kind of sad now.
What, Hamid?
A bit of Hamid is what I need, because I thought to myself, I'm like, that would be a good episode title, but nobody laughed at it, so I guess it's not going to be the episode title.
We can
Sorry, bud.
Sorry. And it would make sense, because Hamid didn't email us.
I'll pencil it in. I'm not going to pen it in.
Yes!
I'll pencil it in. In case you don't come up with anything else. Pressure's on Corey, we got to come up with a better title. Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. I was telling Megan, the show's a lot different than when it started. Like, when it started, I remember the whole marketing behind the show was, you know, oh, it's this weird, kooky world with lots of people with superpowers, and these people are just normal people in it. And that show is so gone now. Like, and, I mean, I'm not complaining, because... looking at the show now, like, how it's reinvented itself with, you know, people with powers and just how crazy it is, Lash, and all this stuff. I mean, it's a totally new show, and I mean, in the best way possible, but it's also just kind of funny to think of how the show started and where it is now. It's just, it's weird. It's
but I think it's really interesting, the fact that, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. definitely, yeah, it definitely has that progression, but it was also... like a show that, like, again, like, it was focused on a specific group of characters that, of course, they've added characters and a couple people have been lost along the way.
Yeah.
But that, again, like, it's a show that is constantly evolving, but it's never truly just suddenly changed direction. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all the direction changes have been gradual. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they've earned the way that they've changed the show over time, right? By building up to it, I think that was one of the show's big strengths. And to see it now, like, I mean, if you look at the first episode, the season one premiere versus the season three premiere, it's like a complete 180 in terms of what the show is trying to do. But, like, if you actually see, like, the way that they've developed it over time, and I'm like, I really like the way they've done that. And,
I mean,
again, like, to see all the crazy stuff going on in the season three premiere, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, like, to think of, like, season one, when, like, the craziest thing you saw was a flying car, and now it's like, oh, no, you've got
Yeah,
Lash.
That was always fucking weird. Like, I still don't understand why they ended that first episode with the flying car. It felt so incongruous. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't earned. You know what I mean? Like, it felt so... But now, like, they have another flying item in this episode that you're gonna see if you haven't seen it yet. And it's awesome. And I'm like, hell yes.
Yeah. No. Not to spoil too much, but the fight between Lincoln and Lash was pretty cool.
Well, Lash was in the episode. The fact that he punched something is probably not a spoiler. Yeah. And obviously Quake got in on that too, and I'm like, yes.
And I like
how
Lash's
she actually
design.
Used her powers fairly frequently. Like, she didn't just use them in one scene, like, she was using them throughout the episode in several different scenarios, so, like, they're not shying away from that.
So funny. We were watching the show, and Daisy, like, pushes the cars away, and she's like, oh, I'm Daisy, and Megan's like, I thought her name was Sky. I'm like, fuck, keep up. She found out she was Daisy. God damn it.
And you figured that out halfway through the second season, man.
It's just funny. It's like, why is she calling herself Daisy? Is that, like, her middle name? No, it's her name's Daisy.
I also hate how there's this, like, segment of fans who refuse to acknowledge her name, and they're like, no, her name is Sky, and we're still calling her Sky. I'm like, she's calling herself Daisy now. Like, chill.
Yeah. But yeah.
We're like, no, Sky forever, man.
We won't go into too much, because literally the show has literally just come back, but I just wanted to touch on it briefly. I think it's... Season 3 is off to a good start.
One more thing I wanted to touch on was the introduction of, what is it, Constance Zimmer as Rosalind Price is what they're calling her. Yeah. Now, I can't help but feel that this character is going to end up having another identity at some point, especially because it's already been revealed that she has had several aliases in the past, and that, again, like, she's, like, again, like, this new shady government villain who's apparently going to be, like, a villain over several episodes.
What if she's Sin?
What?
What if she's Sin, Carlos?
That would seem a little weird, considering, like...
Come on, Carlos. You would love it.
That'd be a bit... I don't think I would be upset. I would just be like, that's a little bit weird, because that doesn't seem like the sort of character they're going for.
I know.
Because, I mean, like, Sin is very, like, completely, like, deranged. Like, she's not controlled, which is very much what this character comes across as. Like, she comes across as someone who's, again, like, able to match Coulson... wit for wit somewhat, right? Like, again, like, an intellectual equal. Sin is just, like, you know, drop bombs and, like, throw grenades kind of chick. So that seems a little bit odd.
My kind of chick.
Although I'm not gonna lie, a little part of me is like, what if she's Madame Hydra? A little part of me was that, but right. I can't help but feel like I prefer if they save Madame Hydra for a movie, but I wouldn't be surprised if they use her in a show.
Well, that's a good one. I never thought of that. Anyways, I'm not going to spoil any more for Corey, but yeah.
Well, there's nothing to spoil, because, like, for now, she's just a government person, and she might just end up being no one. This is just speculation, so.
Spoilers for Corey, but there's an inhuman named Lash and a human scientist that's kind of a bitch. Yeah. So, I saw The Martian this week.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't see it.
And you know what? It's actually a pretty good movie. All in all. I mean, I know Ridley Scott definitely kind of lost some respect amongst fans with Prometheus, but...
And Exodus.
I honestly totally forgot about Exodus.
Exodus, so, Gods and Kings.
That shows how bad that movie was. It wasn't even a blip on my radar.
And Robin Hood.
Yeah. I'm not going to... lie, this movie had some issues, I felt, but all in all, it was a pretty good film. I'll start with positives. Matt Damon, awesome performance. I mean, he really does have this problem, or not problem, I guess, but like a challenging position in the film where it's basically most of the film he's by himself. And there's huge parts of the movie where he doesn't say a word. So everything he's doing is based off of his physical, you know, attributes and traits and so on. And the way that he actually makes that work is actually, like, honestly, like, it's actually really interesting acting in terms of, like, how he basically carries this film with basically very few lines whatsoever. Positive. Another positive? It's very, very good. Like, visuals. I mean, Ridley Scott, he's generally been known for having very visually appealing movies. That kind of goes without saying. This film definitely kind of follows suit with that. My one negative, I'd say, is that the film, it never really develops the side characters very well. And then when the side characters become important, it basically just stops everything that it's doing to develop those characters. And it comes out of left field, and it just sits on these characters for a while. And I mean, there's honestly some really good actors there, like Donald Glover and so on and so forth. I mean, some really good actors there, but it just it stalls on these characters that basically the film's like, oh, they're not important, but now all of a sudden, shit, you gotta start paying attention to these guys, and we're gonna basically, you know, focus on them until you start to realize that they're actually important characters, and then it resumes with the film. So that's probably my only complaint, is that, yeah, it just sort of has this break like around 2/3 through the film. But yeah, besides that, I'd recommend it at the very least. I mean, I think my issue with the film would not bother Carlos, but like, I feel like this is a Curtis issue.
Well, I do want to see it. I will see it for myself and let you know.
Okay. Well, if you see it, you'll have
to. What would you? What does the Martian rank on the Uncle Joey scale?
Oh man, I'd probably give it like 80 out of 100 Uncle Joeys.
So four Uncle Joeys?
Four Uncle Joeys. No, 80 out of 100 Uncle. You don't understand the Uncle Joey scale, Corey.
No, I don't.
The thing is, how does nobody understands the Uncle Joey scale.
It's constantly in flux.
The Uncle Joey scale is one of those things that changes with every film. Like, for example, what was it? Jurassic World got 1 out of 1 million Uncle Joeys. I don't know how that translates to 80 out of 100 Uncle Joeys. And then other times it's not out of. Like, one time Curtis just said 6 Uncle Joeys. I'm like, out of what? He's like, no, just 6 Uncle Joeys. So it's always a surprise.
What's great is on Comic Movie, I see people like in chat and in the comments trying to like figure out my review scale. Like, you don't get it. There is no rationale to this. I just splurred out whatever bullshit I want.
And what did you say Fantastic Four ranked on the Uncle Joey scale, Curtis?
I think it had like no Uncle Joeys.
Yeah, you said that it rated as passing a kidney stone on the Uncle Joey scale, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. But no, this movie's good. In all fairness, it's a good movie. I had my issues with it, but I mean, I don't think my issues should stop anyone from seeing it. I think it was honestly a pretty good movie, but yeah.
Good.
Did any of you actually see the Robin Hood movie that Ridley Scott made a few years ago?
No, I avoided it.
I heard about it. I think I saw a bit of it, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. The only thing that I liked about it was that, you know, Oscar Isaac, the guy who's going to play Apocalypse, and he's also in Star Wars. He's actually going to be in a lot of big movies. He was in that movie as the bad guy. As King John. Yeah. And at the end of the movie, he yells that Robin Hood is an outlaw, but he yells it like with such power. I'm like, this should have become a meme, but it didn't become a meme because nobody saw the movie. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, so Ridley Scott directed a good movie, so is he no longer an outlaw? Well, seriously, go look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious the way he says it.
I think, Carlos, you should make a GIF out of this and just make it a huge thing.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna save Oscar Isaac's outlaw yell and make it a meme like 5 years later.
Yeah, and people are gonna be like, what's this like from? They're like, oh, some Ridley
like
Scott,
it totally
Robin
is
Hood
like
movie.
The way that like I can't help but feel the way that like This Is Sparta from 300 caught on as a meme, I'm like, this should have caught on. It is 100% like the same thing, but nobody saw that movie, so that's why it didn't catch on. And I'm like, god damn it.
What's funny too is I really hope that Ridley Scott doesn't squander his potential that he's earned with this movie, because I feel like this movie's going to get a lot of people, you know, back on his good side. Like, he's going to get a lot of good, you know, credit for this. I hope he doesn't squander this with Prometheus 2 or whatever it's going to be called. Like, that would just suck. If we're all like, oh, Ridley, okay, first Prometheus was shit, but The Martian was okay. Let's see how you do, and they just messes it all up. So I was thinking, actually, when I stepped out, I'm like, man, Ridley, you better not squander this. Anyways, we have emails. Let's do some emails.
Yay! And
they're not, should I have anal sex with my girlfriend kind of questions. They're actually, we didn't get those on the Nerds in Love show, I swear. I like this one because there's a few in-jokes on this podcast, and I think they're starting to catch on to at least one of them. It says, hello, nerds. I chuckle every time Carlos or someone else calls Kurt illiterate. I mean, I'm hearing in a few episodes that Curtis has a good job and his master's. So what gives? Illiterate or genius? Question mark. Brandon.
Can't it be both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I'll be honest. Yeah, it's true. I have my master's. But, like, I know for a fact, like, whenever I was writing it, like, somebody else always edited my stuff because I'm terrible. Like, I'm good for putting down the ideas, but for refining them, I definitely need someone for that. So, yes, I think Carlos is right. There's a little bit of both.
Rush.
Yeah. Like, I'm like a shotgun. I'm like a shotgun of ideas. I just shoot it up, and then it's like, well, now you guys got to clean up the mess from my shotgun of ideas.
That's what she said.
I think Carlos is right. Why not a little bit of both? Why can't I be an illiterate genius? Just kidding. So, Brandon, I don't think that really answered your question, but it did sort of build on the...
But we're still going to call him illiterate, so...
Yeah.
Because, again, that's just part of the Three Angry Nerds mythology.
Yeah. Thing is like, I'm sure people are probably like, oh, man, what's this master's about? And maybe I'll tell you guys one day. Hello, nerds. With virtual reality slowly becoming an even closer reality, and then he puts in brackets, ha ha, because I think he was trying to be funny with the whole reality pun. Anyways, is there any films or games that you would love to digitally experience through VR? Luke.
Until Dawn. I'm serious. Awesome. I mean, I'd be probably pissing my pants most of the time, but out of all the horror experiences, I think that would be the best thing for VR.
Like, something tells me that makes sense with you, too, because, like, you've got the Scooby-Doo fandom thing going, right? And this, I checked out this game a bit. I haven't bought it yet or anything, but, like, it kind of strikes me almost like an episode of Scooby-Doo, only more gory.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah. Exactly, yeah. That's what I was doing on my Twitch stream. I was singing the Scooby-Doo song most of the time. Scooby-Doo-Doo-Doo. And he was finding clues. And even get a wolf dog that guides you around an asylum at some point. I mean, a sanatorium.
Well, that sounds pretty much like Scooby-Doo. Okay, so Until Dawn. Carlos?
So any movie or any game?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what he says.
Can you come back to me?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead, Curtis.
Wait, what am I saying? Obviously Mass Effect. What the fuck?
Why did that not
come to me? Like, that should have been instantaneous, but for some reason I was like, wait, what would I pick? What would I pick? I'm like, fuck.
Someone just walks in on you, and, like, you're in the middle of, like, a sex scene with, like, Liara or something. You're just like...
Tally.
Or Tally. Oh my god, dude. Tally's like a walking computer. That's gross.
Come on, no.
No, Miranda all the way. Miranda was the hottest.
Well, how about all of them? Question mark?
I was Jack. I love Jack.
I know Jordan, who used to be on the podcast. Jordan, when he was on the podcast, he just started playing Mass Effect for the first time. I remember he's like, oh, this chick with the tattoos, can I bang her? And I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, oh.
She won't love you afterwards, though.
Yeah, this is funny.
Totally. You know, I think that's going to be cool, but at the same time, you'd have to stare at their awkward blank faces when you're talking to them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because Bioware games always have that shit, where they're... Characters' faces aren't just...
isn't fucking Oblivion, okay? They're not as bad as Bethesda faces.
They're still pretty bad, alright?
Mm.
At least Until Dawn has expressiveness and proper motion capture. Or you know what? No, actually, let me try to answer to Uncharted. It's VR Uncharted. Actually, they made me sick, probably.
That would also be pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody's mentioned the obvious. Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but Grand Theft Auto sucks.
Grand Theft Auto and VR would be amazing, though. Just go around, just blow up some cars.
If you want to play Grand Theft Auto in VR, just go outside and...
Yeah, she's suggesting that our listeners go, like, rob a bank, Carlos.
Come on. Yes, Curtis.
It's like... Well, doing a heist in VR would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? Like, you do, like, a heist, you're all, like, into it. Yeah, that'd be fun, I think. My backup would be...
Actually, another... Oh, sorry. You were saying... You're...
I was gonna say my backup would be Skyrim. Skyrim would be pretty cool. But something tells me I'd be really tired in that game because there's so much walking that you do. I'd just be like, yo, guys, I'm done walking. Like, fuck.
Anyways. Yeah. Or Metal Gear Solid VR. That'd be cool, too.
Yep, Metal Gear Solid.
There's so many choices. So many things would be good with VR.
I was going to say, another one, like, just for me personally, that I would really like to try, just as in a different genre, would be Soul Calibur. Oh, I would have
to. You know what would, you know, it's the obvious one that I didn't even just realize until now, but Metroid.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That does make sense, yeah.
If you really think about it, because it's like basically, like, you're already basically in a VR environment that would basically be well suited for Metroid and like.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, the whole thing, obviously, you're inside the suit with the HUD and everything, so it would really, like, it's like built for that.
They actually do something like that with rigs, actually, if you've seen that.
Yeah. So, in other words, pretty much any video game or movie would be great in VR.
50 Shades of Grey! That's what the girl said.
Well, my life is 50 Shades of Grey, so I'll tell you what. Marianne asks, what are things that you're afraid of, and what have you done to overcome your fears? That's a very personal question, Marianne.
What are we afraid of?
What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of flying. I hate flying. And if I ever do go flying, I always just keep my seatbelt on. Even if the seatbelt sign's off, I'm like, nope. If this airplane blows open and there's a giant hole in the side of it, I'm going to feel safe because I have my seatbelt on.
You must have really hated the opening of Fight Club then.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really hate Castaway. Castaway is the worst. When I was flying to Austin, actually, it was like, it was kind of funny because coming back from Austin, I actually had like 3 seats all to myself. And my coworker's like, oh, you just lay down in the seats and just chill out. I'm like, nope, I'm sitting up straight, got my seatbelt on. I'm like, no, because if there's an accident in this plane, I have my seatbelt on. I'm ready to go. Anyways, yes, mean airplanes. I don't like them. Carlos, what are you afraid of?
I am deathly terrified of aneurysms because of the fact that it's just the most horrifying thing to me. That, like, you could just be sitting there doing anything and suddenly you just, bam, fucking dead. Something explodes in your brain and you didn't see it coming and you're just gone and there's nothing you can do. Just that sort of, like, constant existential reminder of your own mortality. It just, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have an aneurysm literally at any moment, and there is nothing that I could do to see it coming. But, so that just, the idea just terrifies me.
But you,
I know they're
know.
Extremely rare, but I'm like, damn, it's just a scary thought.
You wouldn't really know it's happening, right? Because if it just happened, you're just dead, right? So
yeah, it's true. Like, you wouldn't experience it for very long. Like, you'd only really experience it for half a second. Oh, I guess that depends on the aneurysm, though, because sometimes they're, like, not as fast, as in, like, you have, like, apparently a splitting headache that's, like, feels like you've been shot in the head and then you die after a couple hours. But still, by that point, it's exploded and there's almost nothing you can do. And so I'm like, just that idea just horrifies me.
All right. Corey?
Spiders. And I would face my fear by killing it with fire.
I like that.
That nuts, that type of person that, like, when he sees a spider in his house, he's like, all right, time to burn down the house.
Exactly.
And you know what? I don't blame you, that nut. I don't blame you.
No. As long as you're not like Alex living in Australia with, like, mutant spiders. That's the bit.
Oh, fuck
you know.
That. I'm never going to Australia.
That's why I'm never going
right?
to Australia. Spider Kingdom.
Yeah, so, like, Carlos feels me.
Yeah. Alex would be like, that's not a spider. This is a spider.
And then he points at Margot Robbie's vagina.
Yeah. Oh, Margot Robbie.
I'd still hit it, though. It'd be worth it.
Somebody tells me she's like white trash, but I would yeah, do it.
I don't know. Margot Robbie's sort of like, I don't really have a problem with her, but I don't know. She never really, she's sort of like Scarlett Johansson. I'm just like,
You exist in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, you exist. I'm like, again, like, I don't have a personal problem with you, but, like, I don't get why people, everyone is like, oh my god! It's like for both of them. I'm like, okay.
Oh, they're good actresses.
Yeah. Scott has an email.
Yeah, but that for most people that are fans of them, that's not really their main concern.
Well, they're idiots because they are good actresses. I mean, I know Scarlett Johansson was great in Under Your Skin, which is creepy as fuck. God.
I'm not denying at all. That's not what I'm saying.
And Margot Robbie was very hot in Wolf of Wall Street. Although, to be honest, his first wife in that film, so much hotter. She was also in How I Met Your Mother. Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She was? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you look up what she looks like in real life, like, she's totally banging. Like, they uglied her for Wolf of Wall Street, his first wife that he had in the movie, but yeah, if you look up the actress that plays her in real life, like, super hot.
Gotcha.
She eventually, well, she played the mother in How I Met Your Mother, in case you're curious.
Oh, see, I didn't finish How I Met Your Mother. I didn't want to.
I think I saw a picture of the mother on How I Met Your Mother.
Spoilers. She looked hot. There's a mother in the show.
Jesus Christ.
Hello, nerds.
I didn't watch the show that far, but wasn't it like she just showed up? I heard that like she just showed up and it was like the most like inconsequential thing. Like she literally just appeared with like no buildup. He's all like, hey, I'm here.
Yes and no. You kind of have to like watch it to really like understand it, but if you want, I can spoil for you the series finale of How I Met Your Mother.
Well, I already know what happens. I've heard of people bitch about it.
So, okay, so what happens is...
Why is it that whenever there's a season finale of a show, it just always causes, like, an ungodly amount of bitching?
See, here's the
thing. It seems like no matter what the show is anymore, that always happens.
There's a lot of series finales that I like. And, like, I know the general consensus on a lot of them is that people hate them, but I like them. Like, Lost. A lot of people hated the series finale for that. I actually liked it. You know? I'm like, maybe it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but I liked it. But How I Met Your Mother. So... He meets the mother, they get married, and she dies of, like, cancer or something like that. And then his kids are like, wait, so the story you've told, you know, here we thought it was about you meeting mom, but really you've just got the hots for aunt something, and it's like Colby Smothers' Robin. Character. Yeah. So he's like, oh, kids, I think you're right. And then he goes and visits Colby Smothers' character, and they, like, they're all, like, a little bit older, and they're all like, oh, well, let's just start dating. And it's like, okay. So, yeah, it wasn't really about how he met the mother, but if you watch the show, like, it made a lot more sense. Like, if you were just, yeah, like, just hear that on its own, you're probably like, that's stupid. But if you watch the whole show,
I actually don't think that sounds that bad. I didn't really know much about what had happened. I'm like, it actually seems like something... Like, an interesting, like, again, like, sort of, like, an existential crisis level. Like, he was telling this story to his children, and they're the ones who figured it out for him, sort of thing. I'm like, I actually think that's kind of a cool way to end it, personally. Yeah. Like, not that I've watched the show that far, but just from what you told me, I'm like, that actually sounds cool on a character level, but...
And not to, like, get too much into How I Met Your Mother, because I'm sure, like, most of the people that listen to this podcast do not watch that show.
Yeah, probably most people that listen to it are like, they were not expecting How I Met Your Mother talk.
No. This is probably one of the last things you expected on this podcast, but Ted, the character, too.
But there, like, you go. We like to upend your expectations.
Yeah. The whole Ted character, his whole thing is that he was looking for love, right? Like, he was always looking for, like, the right one, and he was always the romantic, and the thing is, he eventually did find it, but then the funny thing is the whole idea was in his pursuit of love. He ended up, like, totally glossing over the fact that, like, the woman he should be with was right next to him the entire time, so I like that. It's also shows that we can also be idiots, too, sometimes. And it's, like, literally, like, that person is right in front of you. Well, maybe not literally right in front of you. Because literally right in front of me is my cat. And I'm like, no. It's not going to happen, cat.
That's bestiality.
I know. Well, I like to, like, make fun of my cat. A lot of people like to laugh at me when I do that. Like, the cat's kind of dumb. Because, like, I'll say something and it just meows at me. And then I'll just be like... You're so stupid, aren't you? And I'm like, meow. I'm like, you're such a fucking idiot, aren't you? Meow. I'm like, it's just dumb. Anyways, Scott has an email. He says, with Kevin Feige saying that the end of Phase 3 will bring a completely different roster, a completely different roster for the Avengers, what do you think the roster will look like post-Infinity War? Thanks, Scott.
I think we were already talking about this, right? But
we were talking about like the news, but like I don't know if we talked about who we want to see. His whole question is like, who do we want to see, right?
Who do we want to see? Like, not who we think will show up?
Who we want. Maybe we can go a little pipe dreamish with this. I'd like to see Luke Cage take charge of the Avengers. Because he did that for a while in the comics. He sort of took
Sweet charge. Christmas!
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Instead of instead of Avengers Assemble, Sweet Christmas.
That would be amazing.
Or Avengers kick some ass.
Yeah, that's all I want. I just want like one of those Netflix characters to become like the leader of Avengers, and then people who have been like writing off the Netflix shows for so long will finally just be like, "Fuck, I shouldn't be doing that."
Because it really is all connected.
Yeah, literally it is, because like one of the characters is now leading the Avengers, and again, presidents in the comics. So, this had happened in the comics, so before you're like, wait, Luke Cage wasn't the leader of the Avengers. Look it up. He was.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. What about you guys? Who would you like to see? Carlos is like Agent Venom.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's not like Agent Venom.
Characters who I would like to see, definitely I agree with you on Luke Cage. He is 100% a character I'd like to see. I know I said this earlier, but I do want to see Quake eventually join the Avengers team. Yes. Other people that I would like to see,
Cyclops.
Cyclops!
Richard Reed. Pangram. Silver Surfer. No, just kidding.
Beast. No, that's not even. I actually wouldn't even necessarily want any of those people to be. It's like somebody in the back says Quicksilver. Tigra. No.
Spider-Man would be cool too. Like if you were to do Luke Cage, have like Spider-Man join as well. I guess. I don't know.
Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man is almost like most people are thinking that that's almost inevitable.
Yeah, it's pretty much a given at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, by the time they get that all set up, like, it'll probably be post-Infinity War where you really start to see them, like, be a part of the Avengers. It's just my guess.
I know this might seem like a weird one for some people. Actually, for pretty much, I'm thinking most people, even though she has been on one of the more recent Avengers teams. If they're gonna phase out Black Widow, I would actually really like it if Sharon Carter stepped up and joined as a member of the team, depending on how she's done in Civil War.
Yeah. See that?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
Like, just so that they have a similar style of character, and, like, even if she has, like, a big tie to Cap, I'm hoping, again, like, they have a big tie to Cap with her in 3, like, maybe she could be, like, not necessarily, like, leader, but, like, something of, like, a co-leader who, like, especially if Cap's gonna be something, like, phased out. Like, she could sort of, like, keep fighting, like, in his honor or something. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
Corey, who would you like to see?
I'm going to be that guy in the back and say Quicksilver, all right? Because the biggest Avengers Age of Ultron for me was them killing off Aaron Taylor Johnson's Quicksilver because I actually liked that guy. He was more likable than I thought he was going to be.
I agree with you, though. I knew there were going to be people that are like, Quicksilver! So I agree with you, Corey. I do want to see him make a comeback. I thought it was way too early to kill that guy.
I mean, I understand why they did it. I liked the fake out that Josh pulled with Hawkeye and Quicksilver, but I liked him more as a character than I did the Quicksilver from X-Men Days of Future Past. Though he had the better scene, but Quicksilver was a better character in Age of Ultron for me.
I didn't think anyone needed to die. It wasn't necessary, personally. So
I feel to like expand the Marvel cosmic characters too, like Nova. I mean, Adam Warlock's pretty much a given at this point. At least it better be Kevin Feige if
Yeah, I was thinking Curtis is more like, he better be a given. Because obviously there's a new faction of people who are saying that Vision is going to take his place, and Curtis is like, no!
Those people are fucking stupid.
That's his Darth Vader no moment.
Those people are fucking stupid.
Because you see, if Curtis finds out that Kev has decided to replace Adam Warlock with Vision, Curtis will be like, Kev is now an outlaw!
I'll be like, Kev, you gotta come on this podcast, because we gotta straighten some shit out. And then he's gonna come back from this little meeting we have. He's gonna be like, guys, we gotta put Adam Warlock back in the films, okay?
He
like threatened me and my children, so we gotta like put him in. I'm like, all right, Kevin, if that's what you say. Anyways, just kidding. Love you, Kevin. But yeah, seriously, put fucking Adam Warlock in. I'm not even shitting you. Yeah. All right. So Quicksilver, solid choice. Any other choices, Corey? Anyone else?
Maybe She-Hulk.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know how they do it, but I mean, maybe like start off as like her getting her own little TV show as a lawyer and then a kick-ass superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Like to sleep with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, I have another one, actually, that I just thought of. Mm. Well, one is sort of like, well, I mean, if they're going to have Luke Cage, I'd probably want Iron Fist to be there. But one that I thought of who was sort of new is, if I'm figuring Ultron will come back eventually. Like, that's, again, pretty much a given. And if they were going to do Ultron again, I'd like to see Yocasta appear.
Okay.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Remember, Carlos, he's appearing in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We've confirmed that.
Yep. It's already been confirmed.
Yeah. We don't need anyone else to confirm that. It's already been confirmed.
Really? What?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
We've harassed James Gunn about it. We like dissect every word he said. I think like at one point I was like, he was doing some sort of interview or something like that, and I was like, or he was talking on Facebook, and me and Carlos were both on Facebook at the same time. We were just like, let's just chime in here. And he was saying something about how the Hulk's not going to appear. And then I was like, you didn't say anything about Adam Warlock. And he's like, well, I'm going to say it now. Adam Warlock's not in. And I'm like, I know you're full of shit, James Gunn. Just trying to cover your tracks.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I know you didn't say Ultron either.
Yeah, I think it was like
all
part of that
said,
too,
all
right?
He said was that Hulk was not in it, so.
Yeah, because they asked if any pre-existing Marvel characters would be in it. And then I think that's where we asked him about Ultron, and then, of course, I went to Adam Warlock. I feel like Moondragon would be a cool addition, too. I know.
I never liked Moondragon. I wouldn't care if they never brought her in.
Well, Carlos, just sometimes Marvel's got to do stuff that you hate, and they got to do it in a way that you'll like it, and you'll love Moondragon. You'll be like, oh, I know. What if they cast, what's her name, your favorite actress of all time, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, as Moondragon?
I would actually be kind of pissed. Not going to lie. Like, really, you're going to waste Mary Elizabeth Winstead on Moondragon? Are you fucking
kidding
me?
You would be so conflicted. You would be like, I know you'd be like, tossing and turning, like, shit. Why did they do
keep
this?
Keep you up at night.
I would have my vengeance. That's when I would bring Kev in and be like, Kev, we gotta talk.
Carlos, you've said that you'll see any movie that she's in, even if it's a terrible film, right?
Yes.
So, if she was Moon Dragon,
well, it's not like I'm not gonna go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2, regardless of what they do with it. So, I'm obviously gonna go see it, but I would be upset at that choice. I'm like, really? Mary Elizabeth Winstead was up for both Black Widow, sorry, not Black Widow, Maria Hill, and for Sharon Carter back in the day. So I'm like, okay, I know that they want her at some point, but really, you're going to go with Moondragon? I would be like, fuck!
Yeah. All right. Final email this week is from Ryan.
It's not from Hamid, no!
I know. Actually, I haven't refreshed. No. No email from Hamid this week. We finally scared him off, thank God. From Ryan. Ryan's got some would-you-rathers for us. Ooh. He even says, some would you rathers, if you will, dot, dot, dot. All right, first one. Would you rather be a virgin for life or have sex and be haunted by a spirit?
What kind of spirit? What
type of spirit? Like, is it like the spirit of someone really hot? Because...
Or is it gonna be like that demon from, or like that demon thing from the Paranormal Activity movie? Because that, I don't know, that'd be worse.
I'm thinking of the movie like It Follows, where the girl has sex and the guy's like, "Yeah, you're gonna be followed by the spirit," and it tries to kill her. I feel like it would be that kind of spirit. That's what I'm just gonna go with and assume, just in case. Even if it's not, I mean, at least I'm playing it safe. That's the case, I would definitely still have sex and be haunted by the spirit. I don't give a shit. I'll deal with it.
You'd be chased for life, though. What is wrong with you?
I feel like
it's one of those things that, like, if you really just sort of, like, basically confronted the spirit, was like, dude, I'm not fucking afraid of you. Or girl. Hopefully girl. Yeah. like, I'm not fucking afraid of you. You can chase me around if you want. The spirit would either, like, get bored and leave, or they would just start hanging out with you and being like, all right, I guess we're just gonna chill now.
Yeah,
be like if that spirit is just gonna hang out at my house, we can like play video games together and just like, you know, talk about shoot the shit. I'd be like, I'm okay with it.
Have you guys seen that movie, The Babadook?
Yes. It's on Netflix.
They keep it in the basement at the end of the movie. Spoilers for The Babadook, but I feel like that's what I would do with it. I would just chain it up in the basement and I'd be like, well, fuck you, I'm gonna have sex now. And then I feed it whatever I want to feed it. Alright. Corey, did you answer?
I'm just gonna go stick with virgin to be safe. Like it.
Okay. And Carlos, you were gonna just like me, you're gonna like just tackle the spirit head on. See what happens.
Yeah, just be like I ain't scared.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
Another would you rather. Would you rather work a minimum wage job that you're happy with or a high paying job that you hate?
How high paying?
He needs to elaborate on these more. Just keep finding shit to.
Yeah, like I feel like there's some parameters need to be established. Like, what are we talking here? Like, are we talking like CEO job, although I'm not sure how you would hate that, but
yeah,
you don't do anything.
If it's like a CEO type job, I'd go with that, even if I hate it. Because in my experience, I usually hate most jobs. I just tolerate them. You know, it's like, I don't like going to work, but I tolerate it. It's like,
and also, do I have to stay at the job? Like, can I switch jobs as long as they're in the same parameters?
I don't know, Carlos. Let's just
like we put too much. I put too much thought into this.
And so, with that, Carlos, are you gonna stick with the minimum wage job or the high paying job?
Because the thing there is that I sort of like have a way out at this, right? Because I'm like, I could technically do the minimum wage job that I love, but I'm like, if there was ever a point where I just like didn't feel like the money was enough, I could just quit and live at home because I get money from the government if I don't work. So.
Dang.
I love how Carl just breaks this. It's like, well, I don't need to work at all.
So I think I would take the minimum wage job just to see how much I actually like doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So, yeah, I would be like temporarily take that job. Because again, I can always go back to the, well, I don't actually have to work if I don't want to. So there you go. So
the
I'm pretty safe.
The high paying job is if I did quit, I'd be like, pretty set on EI for a while. So
that's the other thing too, is like, do you get to keep the money from your high paying job? Like, if you literally have so much money that you can just put it in the bank and save on interest and not have to work, like, is that your way out of it?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would just save up a ton of money and just be like, I'm retired at the age of 35. Suck it.
Like, nobody but us would ever like dissect these questions like this.
The guy's probably like, just answer the fucking question.
Just answer the fucking question, you pricks.
Stop fucking dissecting my fucking questions.
Well, it's your fault, Ryan, for not being clear enough on your parameters.
Yeah, Ryan. You gotta spend at least an hour.
Like, you would be terrible. You, Ryan, you'd be terrible if you're making a deal with the devil. Like, you need to outline your terms, all right? Make things extremely clear. Don't leave anything to chance.
All right. And Corey, did you decide?
Well, I mean, if it came down to it, I'd rather do something I love for the rest of my life or something I hate. But Curtis honestly probably has the best idea with just working for temporarily and retiring at 35. That sounds good, too. I'll probably go with that.
This kind of actually ties into like something we were talking about on the Nerds in Love podcast. Would you rather date a really hot girl with a lot of mental issues or a really rich but ugly girl? Clearly the rich but ugly girl.
Yeah, rich but ugly girl. I mean, don't stick your dick in crazy.
Come on, Ryan. Haven't you ever heard of the paper bag?
And now, girl. Do you have to stay faithful to the rich and ugly girl? Like, can you have God a girl on Carlos. The side because you're so rich?
That's true. If I'm carrying over the money, you know, then I wouldn't have to worry about it. So I could go with the really
like,
hot
can
girl.
I marry the rich and ugly girl and then divorce her and take half her stuff and then find someone more
attractive? Well, here's the thing. He says that the ugly girl is really rich, but he never talks about the economical state of the really hot girl with a ton of issues, mental issues. He
yeah, just that's says the thing, she's... is that, like, what if the really hot girl with mental issues is also rich? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, she's
hiding. That'd be worse, because she's nuts, and she could do whatever the hell she wants with you and just...
No, if she's nuts, what I would do is what you do is that you build, like, you pay some people to construct, like, a giant maze. Okay, and you just tell the crazy girl that, like, there's a chocolate bar in the center of the maze, and then you just let her go in, and she gets lost, and then you just take the rest of the cash and run.
Sounds like a very complicated plan, Carlos. It's like you've thought this through for a while.
I just literally came up with that. I'm like, just put a crazy girl in a maze. I'm like, I don't know.
Just be like, there's a Licenza
Again,
gift card
in
the center.
What issues are we talking about? Like, be more specific. There's so many different versions that this could factor under.
Yeah, like, does she have schizophrenia?
Yeah, does she schizophrenic? Is she? Does she have anxiety? Does she have depression? Is she passive-aggressive? Is she completely bonkers? Like, legitimately insane? Like, is she going to try and stab me? Or is she just more like, you know, she talks to walls? Because, like, those are two different things.
I love what you say, like, talks to walls, as if, like, that's, like, the acceptable thing. Like, oh, she talks to walls. That's fine.
It's like, she has this wall called Miriam, who's her best friend. I'm like, I could live with that.
Like, Carlos, why is your girlfriend talking to the wall? It's like, oh, well, it was between her and some psycho schizo.
Carlos's
bitch, so.
Girlfriend talks to walls. There's another episode to you.
Girlfriend that talks to walls. Yeah, there we go. We have one more, and this one's probably the weirdest. Would you rather have to eat dog shit once or get shot with a plastic bullet once for $1 million?
Really?
Wait,
come on. This
what?
Plastic bullet for $1 million, all right? Those don't even hurt. Well, no, they hurt like hell, but they're not that bad.
Yeah, like that's...
Yeah, that one's really easy. Plastic bullet.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm not eating dog shit.
Plus $1 million.
Like,
come
if
on.
If you actually want to know, one of the things that I've already, like, sort of thought about that I would never do under any circumstances, even if I was offered obscene amounts of money, is consume human waste. So, yeah, I'm like, that's a really easy one. Plastic bullet, no question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it for this podcast this week. For life in general. We just all
right.
Give up now. Right. Just stop while we're ahead. Never do this podcast ever again. I mean, it's all great ideas. If you like this podcast, go listen to the Nerds in Love podcast because it's us giving dating advice and just talking about stuff.
Doesn't that sound great?
Doesn't that sound like something else, something that could be replaced by something better that you could do with your time, but you're just like, eh, I'd rather just stream this podcast and just listen to it. Good times. Carlos, are you still doing fanfic, or are you just, like, on hiatus or something?
It's still there. Like I said, like, again, I haven't had the chance. But luckily, we have a break week coming up very soon, and I'm thinking that I'm just going to sit down and just fucking truck on that, because I know my very tiny fan base is probably, they either hate me or they thought I'm dead. So, I mean, I know I've been gone. But the thing is that, again, like I said last week, is that I'm still technically, on timeline-wise, I'm still okay to finish what I wanted to finish this year if I'm able to get back to it. So, like I said, it's not something I've abandoned. In fact, I was actually thinking about it today, just, like, going over, you know, plot details in my head. And I came up with a really cool way to end the phase in terms of, like, a final scene that I wanted to throw in. And I was like, you know what? It got me excited to get back to it. You know, I'm really excited for people to know what I have in store. So, I have not abandoned it, no.
Okay. That's good.
Good.
Girl that talks to walls.
There we go.
Great episode title right there. Corey, what do you want to pimp? Anything for Twitch?
Yeah, just my Twitch.
Wants to pimp his girlfriend. I'm just kidding.
Shut up, Carlos. But yeah. I guess,
no.
But yeah, I guess, like, pimp my Twitch, Badden92. Please follow me if you want to check me out playing the latest games. And you can follow me on Twitter at Badden92.
Yeah. Where you mainly talk to Sauron's Bane.
But I like the guy, alright?
It's like, I like looking at your Bane's tweets, awesome. And I'm like, he has, like, three tweets. The rest of them are like, what's up, Sauron's Bane? Wow.
I'm trying to post this.
We'll have to have him on the podcast one day. Good times. You're like, it'll be like you interviewing him, just like that's the entire podcast. It's like, what do you think of CBM? It sucks. All right, thank you. Just kidding. CBM's good. Yeah. I haven't written anything on comic book movie in a long time. And I'm not like Carlos. I'm not like writing a master's thesis. I just don't write much anymore. But I should. Maybe I'll write something. Who knows? I'll pull something out my ass. That's it. So, for the three of us, that's it. Go live good lives. Be nice people. Don't be Nathaniel and deal with suppositories. Bye.
Or Snooper. Bye-bye.